This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Having a ton of fun today. We're talking Kings, talk some Niners, talk a little baseball playoffs. Lots going on. Good time in the sports calendar, mid-October. But I want to get back to the Kings preseason opener because there were several things from last night's game that we did not get to when we were talking about that a little bit earlier. Where do we want to start? Let's just start with Isaac Jones. I was gonna put that off, but let's just start there. You were trying to figure out who he reminded you of. And in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, we've seen Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
We've seen Kenneth Faried. I just saw his name.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that we hear those names because both those guys are pretty solid rebounders. And in his first real game opportunity, again, Isaac Jones played 20 minutes and had one rebound. Mike Brown did talk about how every single opportunity that he had to get into the crash zone, he did, which is something that the Kings are asking everybody to. They said both...
The crash zone.
Yeah, both Keon Ellis and him, both, like, every single one of their opportunities to fly into the crash zone, they did. I don't know. I like what I see from Isaac Jones. I was talking to somebody before the game yesterday within the walls of the organization. And they told me, hey, I think there are a couple of players who are actually going to play. A couple of the young guys are going to play this season.
And oh.
I'm like, oh?
Did we find out who?
Well, I brought up Isaac Jones, and it was like, okay, yeah. Yeah, there's a good chance there. And I think that's who they're kind of talking about. Isaac Jones has become, you know, Mike Brown talked about it at practice the other day, and he said that, you're always saying maybe, like, to somebody. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you're talking to your kids, they're like, hey, can we go to the movies? You're like, okay, maybe. And then he's like, I keep saying maybe with Isaac Jones. And he's like, but after so many maybes, there comes a point where you're like, okay, yes.
He's like, it would have been a no.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not okay. He's like, I'm not up to the yes yet, but I've said maybe so many times that I'm getting closer and closer to yes. And he's like, so that's a really good thing for a young player who, again, picked up basketball kind of late, and like his story getting to the league is really intriguing, and, you know, ends up like trying out for a team, a junior college team, and makes it. And next thing you know, he's like on the cusp of being an NBA player. And I've talked to people from the training staff. What they've been able to do to build him up already. They're like, okay, yeah, like, number one, he's a hard worker. Number two, like, he has a frame that you can stack weight on, that you can build, like, very quickly. So I think there's a lot of intrigue there. You know, again, the crashing thing is one element that they love from him. The fact that he's 6'8 with a 7'3 wingspan, it's like that guy that they keep searching for. but he's more of a 4-5 than he is like a 3-4. And I actually had a chance to talk to him last night in the locker room before the game. And I said, have you had an opportunity to like roll to the basket with Malik Monk and get one of those like big Showtime opportunities? And he just kind of smiled. He's like, I haven't yet. He's like, but I've seen it happen. And I want it to happen.
No, but like, I sure would like to.
I'm excited about that. But that even in itself was telling, because what it's telling me is he's not playing with the second team guys unless Malik is playing solely with the first team, like as a rotation. Like they're got their five or six guys, and they've got their five starters, and then they're rotating Malik and they're rotating Alex Lannan type deal, where they're not, those guys aren't playing against the starters, they're playing with the starters more. So that's possible, but I kind of want to see if he can be that guy, because this team desperately needs that. Like, there isn't God bless Alex Lannan, and is, you know, watching him out there against the Golden State Warriors, you're just looking at him like, okay, you're taller than everyone and you're taking full advantage of that. He finishes with almost a double-double last night.
Not the picture of elite athleticism, though.
No. He's in great shape. He knows his role. He does, you know, he does those the things he needs to do, but what he's not
does
a
the grimy
threat.
Stuff.
Yeah, he's not a lob threat. He's not JaVale McGee, right? Mm-hmm. And Malik Monk needs a JaVale McGee. Like, he doesn't need JaVale McGee, but he needs a type of player like JaVale McGee. And you're hoping that one of these young guys, well, maybe it is Isaac, Isaac Jones steps up and becomes that guy. And I don't know if that's going to be the case, but he certainly has the body type to do it. And then watching him with his back to the basket game, I was like, ooh, look at that. Like, pretty.
So we can read into something. This is something I wanted to talk about with you, because you look at who played off the bench for the Kings last night. Jalen McDaniels, 21 minutes. Alex Len, 21 minutes. Isaac Jones, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mason Jones was next with 17. So that's worth reading into, then, the fact that Isaac Jones played the second most minutes off the bench last night.
Yeah, I think it is worth reading into. And, you know, I think the other guys, Boogie Ellis, really played well. He was super confident, but and I would also point out Mason Jones probably would have played 20 minutes, but he fouled out, and you know, I don't even know how he fouled out. I thought he was checking into a game, and next thing you know, he's got a 6 foul and he's checking out. So I'm not quite sure.
Six
what
of the Kings' 17 fouls last night.
Yeah, that's not what you want. Is like, again, for a team to keep saying we're going to play defense, we're going to be physical without fouling. And then you have a young guy who goes out there and who's trying too hard, like, realistically. So I hope that Mason Jones kind of settles down. I thought it was interesting. The Kings kept running the ball through Mason Jones. They had him bring up the ball. They had him, like, initiate the offense. And I was like, what exactly are we doing here? This is intriguing to watch. But then I go back to the first half, and sure enough, there's Keegan Murray dribbling the ball up the court and initiating the offense. And I think, you know, De'Aaron kind of addressed it in postgame. He said, look, our offense, all four guys, there are four positions that are completely interchangeable. The only one that's not is the center position. And so Domas does what he does. Everybody else has to do the same. They all have to know each other's job, and they all have to go down and basically, anyone is allowed to bring up the ball. Anyone is allowed to initiate the offense from the top of the key, whatever it might be. It's just like, if you're the first ones down, you run to the corners. And so I think it's just kind of interesting what we're seeing is young players who, again, because of injury, probably are getting more of an opportunity throughout camp than they would ever normally. Like, you don't usually see four rotational pieces just, like, drop off the face of the earth coming into camp and can't play at all. So I think a door has opened here, and I think Isaac Jones is the one guy who's definitely stepping through and saying, hey, I think I'm ready to be part of this. And I don't know what that means long term, but at least initially, it's intriguing.
I've been putting this off because I don't want to admit it. And maybe I'm wrong here, and you're very good at talking me off these ledges, which is great. the official Colby Jones fan club is deeply concerned.
Mm.
Yeah, the Chatty House is talking about it, so we gotta bring it up. Colby Jones not awesome in the summer league. Starts out his first preseason game in 16 minutes, 1 of 6 from the field. He did dish out 3 assists and he pulled down a rebound, but he had a couple of turnovers. He had just 2 points. He was a minus 10 in his 16 minutes. I'm a little bit afraid that the corner turn for Colby Jones might not be coming.
Yeah, I mean, clearly you're going to put him in the G League and he's going to be down there for a good portion of the season.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we're seeing very clearly that Mason Jones seems to have elevated himself past Colby Jones. And again,
which is a problem.
It's a problem, but it's also not super fair to Colby because Colby's like 22 years old.
22, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a second-year player that spent most of his first year in the G League. And then Mason is a guy who played 3 years in the league, went to Europe, came back. You know, like that's kind of like Mason Jones' path. He's older. He's more mature. He understands now, you know, that your spot in the NBA is not guaranteed and how difficult it is to leave and come back and all that stuff. Like there is something to like the way that Mason Jones has got back to the point that he's at right now, where he's vying for a rotational spot or a roster spot. I think Colby, the one good thing that he has going for him is he's part of the test pilot project for the second round pick, where he's on the second round pick exception. And he not only is a league minimum player his first 2 years, but then they have like super bottom basement, like third and fourth years where they have team options. Like he's got to figure it out. He's got to figure it out very quickly.
Boy.
But there are things that he does that I love. Like his hands are so quick. And not only that, but someone will go up for a rebound. He'll fly from the other side and smack the ball out of bounds. And you think, okay, well, was that meaningful or does that matter? And it does, because now the whole defense is set up because they've got to go inbound the ball because Colby Jones got his hand, punched it out, did whatever he had to do to like slow things down.
Mm-hmm.
And he's crafty and he does have a good feel for the game. We're just not seeing it play out in a way that I think anyone thought we would. Like, I think you all thought he would be like further along in his path at this point. And
yeah,
maybe he finds his way back.
And that's kind of that's why I even bring it up, because and again, by the time the fourth preseason game rolls around, Colby Jones is not going to be a huge part of the conversation. But I was expecting in his rookie year, he just looked so much like the kind of player that just had an idea, knew exactly how to play the game. And you're going, wow, this is a guy who, even if he doesn't turn into a starting caliber player, he's just going to be a rotational player for a long time. He just kind of gets it. He's got great feel. You mentioned all the stuff he does defensively, crashing the glass, doing all those little things. But then offensively, it's just not like, you have to be able to do something. You can't just be a zero offensively.
Yeah, like the...
And that not progressing, despite the fact he's playing in Stockton and doing all that, it just is... I'm not ready to punt. I'm not punting on Colby Jones.
Okay.
But the fan club is definitely a little concerned. We've started perusing new players to attach ourselves to.
You know, I had this conversation years ago with a player development coach, and it was when the Kings had drafted Ben McLemore 1 year, and then they came back with Nick Stauskas the next year.
Ooh.
And it was someone
who... Go Blue.
Yeah. It was someone who had been working with these two players, like, nonstop. And I said, what do you think? Like, like he goes, I don't know either one of them are going to make it. He's like, but if I were betting on one, I'd put my money on Stauskas. And I'm like, okay, why? He's like, well, tell me what Ben McLemore's elite skill is. And I'm like, athleticism? He's like...
Jumping?
He's like, that's not an elite skill. He's like, can he pass? Is he a great rebounder? Can he shoot? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that he does? Is he a ball handler? Like a guy who just can dribble and set up an offense? Like, what is it he does? And I'm like, okay, you're probably right. He's like, Nick Stauskas at least comes into the league with one elite skill, and that is he is a great shooter. Now, the fact that Nick Stauskas walked into the NBA and, like, it got in his head, and I think he let some of the veterans get in his head, specifically one person, but I'm not going to get into that, like, really, like, shake his confidence, and then he couldn't shoot
anymore.
No, let's
get into that.
No, well, I mean, like...
That's fine. I'm joking. I'm joking with you. Go on.
Yeah, there are players that the Kings have had who are really hard on rookies and second year, young players for a long time. And Nick Stauskas kind of got eaten up by that and lost his confidence and then couldn't shoot anymore. You know, this is one of the, like, literally one of the most confident kids I've ever been around. Like, the levels to his, like, cockiness off the court were, like, jarring. Like, really, really jarring. You're like, okay, dude, you're like, you know, he's
okay,
a,
Nick.
Yeah, he was a shoot your shot guy. And you're like, bro, what is happening? Like, and weird, like, anyway, there was such a confidence level. I always, like, I know this is too old for you, but, like, there's a movie with Corey Haim called License to Drive. Spectacular.
Of course.
Absolutely amazing movie where he fails his driving test and, he's supposed to go on a date with this, with Heather Graham, you know, this beautiful girl at school, but he failed his driver's test. So he ends up taking his grandfather's car anyways and sneaking out. Anyway, there's a scene where when he's taking his test, the DMV, he slams his hand on the computer because he knows he's failing and all of the power goes out. And so they think he passes. So they take a picture of him and, like, his license to drive, his driver's license is him making this ridiculous smirk. It just reminded me of Nick Stauskas all the time. He just, like, had this confidence to him and then you break him. And so, again, to get back to Colby Jones, like, it's okay to be a jack of all trades, master of none in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there has to be at least one skill that you have that is really close to elite. And I'm not sure what that is yet for him. And that's a really tough thing because I look at him and it's like, hey, man, 10 pounds of muscle. Like he looks tremendous, like all of the Kings young players. And the problem is, how do you translate that to the basketball court? How do you not just be a guy who knocks the ball out of bounds? Like, how do you be like a functional member of what's happening? And I think, you know, again, like Isaac Jones, instantly you're like, oh, my goodness. Like, we don't know what his elite skill is yet, but I think it like, he proved that he can shoot the ball. You know, he's got this crazy wingspan. Like, you're hoping he can be really good defensively. You're hoping for some of these things, but you also see an outline of a player who stands out. Like, the second you watch him on the court, you're like, oh, look at the way he moves. Look at the way he's flowing in the offense. Look how he's in position, or, you know, he's rotating and getting somebody's guy cutting to the basket. And the rotations were so bad by the Kings. I watched Isaac Jones go and rotate and cut somebody else's man off so many times. And then no one got his man on the corner for the corner, wide open corner three. So there are like pieces to a player there that you can see and you're like, okay, what does he look like? And 2 years, what does he look like in 3 years? And maybe the Kings have found another like Keon Ellis caliber player, not another Keon Ellis, but another caliber of player like Keon Ellis. And that's what you have to have if you're a team that has expensive players.
This is the Insiders. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, breaking down the Kings 122-112 preseason loss to the Golden State Warriors last night at Golden 1 Center. The Kings and Warriors face off again tomorrow out at Chase Center in San Francisco. Isaac Jones, where are we going? Oh, okay. I have a couple things that I want to get to here. First of all, who do you think if the person you were talking to behind the scenes yesterday, the mysterious person, I was going to make a Watergate joke.
Okay.
But I'm not going to call the person.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call the person that they called him in water. I'm not going to do that. Because that would be insane to do on the radio in 2024. So that person said a couple of these young guys are going to play. if we've circled Isaac Jones as one, is there another player that you've definitely got your eye on? Or is that just, was that person just saying in general a couple when really it could just mean the one?
Yeah, I think it probably could just mean one. But I also think like Mason Jones is a guy who's like on the cusp of being, you know, again, you're looking at a guy who's 6'5", 6'6", long wingspan, plays with a really, really big energy. And so that's one guy. I think, again, Boogie Ellis came in. And when you're watching a player who, you know, realistically undrafted, like he's part of the main roster, but like I don't know what that means because like whether they keep him or not, there's a good chance they don't keep him. And that they've got to find a way for him to get to the G League, and it's almost got to be on a two-way contract, just because of financials and everything else. So you're trying to figure out like what does he look like, but he steps on the court and instantly starts throwing up laser beam threes, and you're like, ooh, like look at the confidence, look at the way that he hustles on defense, the way that he's physical, and so that's a kid that I think like instantly jumps off the page. And then Isaiah Crawford is the other guy, right?
Yeah.
And Isaiah Crawford has sort of that, I don't know, like he has an NBA body that teams are looking for. The, what is it? Isaac Okoro body, you know, that like the, even like, I'll point out like Chima Moneke last year for the Kings. Chima.
Sure.
He was built like a guy who can play the two, the three, and the four. And like the Lou Dort style of body that that teams I think are looking for, and you're always looking for like the diamond in the rough, a guy with a big wingspan, a guy who you know brings energy and stuff like that. So there is an interesting crop of young players here in Sacramento that you didn't kind of expect because you know again the Kings drafted what the 12th or the 13th pick, and then they didn't have another pick. They traded away their second rounder, and they went out and they like sort of did the deep research that they did the year before when they found Keon Ellis. And so I'm intrigued at least by a lot of these guys.
Golden State went 28 of 52 from three last night. You mentioned this earlier on in the show. If that was a regular season game, it would have been the franchise record for made threes in a game.
Yes.
Are we looking into this at all? Because this was a little bit of a problem for the Kings at times last season, where any team would come in, whether they were good or bad at shooting threes, and they would immediately become a 43% three-point shooting team. Are we looking into this at all? Because I know that Golden State had some guys like Jonathan Kuminga is not probably going to be 4 of 7 every night. Draymond, I think, hit a couple. That's not something he's going to do every night. But also, there were a lot of like open looks and pretty good looks. Is that something that concerns you at this point, or are you writing this off as preseason game one?
I'm writing most of it off as preseason game one. Again, for a team to hit 28 threes, 28 of 52.
Well, they got 52 of them up.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, what I didn't want to hear is the Kings mention, well, you know, we did a good job of being physical without fouling. You see, they only took 13 free throws or whatever. It's like, they only took 13 free throws because they shot 52 threes.
They were never in the paint.
Yeah, like, what did they shoot? 44... They had 44 makes, and of the 44 makes, 28 were three-pointers?
52 three-pointers, 30 two-pointers.
That's all they took. Yeah, and then
30
makes.
Shots from two-point range.
Yeah, and makes, I think they only had 16 makes that weren't threes.
16 of 30 from two.
Yeah, so, no, that's a problem. But,
yeah.
Again, I think it's rotations and it's the fact that the Kings played. I mean, my bigger concern isn't the second half when the Warriors kept shooting threes. And not only did the Warriors keep shooting threes, but like Podziemski, Looney, Kuminga, they're all in the game forever. Buddy Hield, they were all in the game like all the way through the third and part of the fourth quarter. So the Kings are out there running like what will be remnants of their G League squad. But the first half was a problem, and the Kings couldn't get separation. I was impressed that the Kings were hanging in there because I think the Warriors hit 15 threes in the first half, and that's your starting group. That's not okay, and there were way too many open looks, and just rotations were slow and all that stuff. Rotations were slow, but also rotations were confused by young players in the second half.
Yeah.
So a problem.
The Buddy Hield revenge game was tough.
Yeah. He did
get
booed.
It's so annoying. I'm already annoyed. I'm already annoyed, bro. You have no idea. Now I'm going to go, oh, look at 6'7". Yeah, no, he can shoot. He can shoot the leather off the basketball for sure.
Yes.
Everybody knows this. He is one of the very best shooters in the league.
Ever.
I don't expect him to be that impactful night in and night out.
Yeah, I mean, for everything that, like, for the jokes we make about Buddy Hield and everything else, it's like, look.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was around Buddy for years. So, I mean, like, the accumulation of things that I dealt with Buddy Hield, but his ability to shoot the ball has never, ever, ever, ever been in question. His decisions to shoot the ball sometimes you can question, you know, like up six with 48 seconds left and there's 22 seconds on the clock and you're shooting a 32-footer. Yeah, probably, like, the best way to get, like, removed from a ball game that I've ever seen. But like just the pure, like he's a workaholic and he is so focused on making the three. Like he is one of the great 3-point shooters of all time. There's no question.
Isn't he top 10? I think he's top 10 all time in made threes. Is that right? Top 25 maybe?
If he's, oh no, he's top 25 for sure. But it, like when he's done, he'll be one of the great 3-point shoot, like all time makes. He'll be in the top five or six, most likely.
He is 22nd all time in made threes.
Okay, but
and by the end of this year, he'll probably be in the top 15.
Yeah, the top 15, and then he can move up quickly from there because you're going up against a lot of guys who are no longer in the league at that point. You're just kind of
totally insane.
Yeah, no, it's totally wild. Insane. I mean, the fact that he had the most 3-point makes after his second, his third, and his fourth years in the league ever. Like, no fourth-year player ever had that many makes in their career to that point. He's a great shooter.
Yeah.
Can't leave him open.
All right. Let's get to... We're going to do mad props next with the Kings' next preseason game and the 49er game. Yeah, we're going to have some fun with it. Mad props. We'll bring in Jesse Tapia for that as well. And salute to Jesse for running the board today. Really appreciate that, man. We'll do that. We'll have some keys to a 49ers victory, and then we'll have the handoff where I'm sure we'll get back to the Kings. Plenty coming up in the final segment. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube's a sponsor here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Hi, everyone. It's the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Yeah, I gotta do better. I gotta be better. That's fine. It's fine. It's fine. We're all good. We're just gonna dive into mad props, Jim. Let's just do that. We're gonna get into this. Jesse, are you able to jump on where I can I hear you now?
Yeah, right?
Oh, look at that. Look at us go. All right, so we've got mad props. What we're gonna do, we've been doing the 49ers and Raider games, but this is more what the bid is supposed to be. It's supposed to be two different sports matched up. So because we have a Kings preseason game tomorrow, we're going to do the 49ers game tonight and the Kings preseason game on Friday. Does that make sense?
Sounds like a plan.
So I made up two props. We're going to stack them together and we got to pick which one is going to be higher. Jesse, we'll start with you. Brock Purdy completions or De'Aaron Fox minutes on Friday?
I'm going to go...
De'Aaron played... How many minutes did Aaron play last
night? He played 19.
19 minutes last night.
Yeah. I'm going to go Brock Purdy completions. I don't feel great about it, but I figure that tonight's going to be a little high scoring, so I'm going to go Brock Purdy completions.
Okay, James?
I'm going to go De'Aaron Fox minutes.
How many do you think they're going to ratchet him up to?
They are going to play in the third quarter, so I'm going to say Fox is going to finish with like 24, 25 minutes. And I don't know.
Can I change my answer?
Yeah.
If Fox is playing into the third quarter, I'll go Fox minutes too.
Oh.
Like this is the first half situation here or whatever.
I'm sticking with Purdy completions.
Whatever, you're going to be wrong on Monday, pal.
I can't wait. I think Fox is probably in the 24-minute range. I think the Niners are still going to throw it a lot, but I think you're going to see Purdy making a concerted effort to get the ball out, because him running around is just not as often as he has been a way to produce offense. And I think you're going to see a lot more checkdowns, a lot more short throws, a lot more him just getting rid of the ball instead of trying to extend plays and either throw it away or take a sack or scramble for 3 yards. So I think they're going to throw it a lot, and I think you're going to see Brock with a ton of completions. And I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, so I think they're going to have to throw it, because I don't know if they're going to be able to stop the Seahawks on offense.
So you don't think we're going to see the 77-yard run for Brock Purdy that actually only works out for an 8-yard-plus gain?
We might see it once or twice, but it felt like that was a focal point of their offense, and that's just not – I don't think that's going to continue.
Okay.
Especially on a short week. Number two, James, this one's for you. Brandon Ayuk receiving yards, or let's just do King's first half total.
Oh, I'm going to go Ayuk. I think you're right that this is going to be a bit of a crazy passing game, and I think Ayuk will get, I think he'll be in the 80s for the game, like 83 yards sticks out, maybe a little bit more. But I definitely think that the Kings are not going to score that many points in the first half.
Yeah, I'll take Ayuk too. This one feels easy.
Yeah, I'm right there. This is one of those ones that the ceiling for Ayuk is, like, what do you have last week? 147 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's definitely on the table. But I'm with you, James. I think it's probably in the 75 to 80 range. And as good as the Kings offense is or can be, I'm not totally sure they're going to get there given the nature of the game. So I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk receiving yards as well. The next one, Jesse, Deebo Samuel targets or DeMar DeRozan field goal attempts?
Give me DeMar
6 for 6.
Deebo Samuel targets.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah,
he
probably get around 9 targets or so.
I think they're going to let these guys play a little bit, and I'm going to go DeMar DeRozan.
I make these up and I don't have a good answer ready. I think it's going to be Deebo Samuel targets. I think part of the short throws is going to be, Purdy looking more for Ayuk for Samuel. He got 3 targets and 1 catch last game. I went back and looked. Every time he's had a slow game, they typically try and feed him in the next one. And I think that we're going to see the Kings start I think 6-7 field goal attempts is probably about what DeMar DeRozan's looking at. And I think Deebo might get 8, 9, 10 targets. So I'm going to go Deebo targets for that one. James, 49ers sacks. So this is sacks made by the 49ers defense or Domantas Sabonis 3-point attempts.
Oh man. He didn't take a single one.
Yeah, I didn't take any threes.
But then I don't trust the Niners to get more than 2 sacks. I am going to go, for the sake of the bit, I'm going Sabonis.
I love that for you. I really love that for you, Jesse.
I'll go 49ers sacks. Sabonis might take 1, but we'll go 49ers get at least 2, I think.
Yeah, that's why I'm going Niners too. Even if Sabonis does step out and take a couple, it's probably 2. Like, that's probably the max that we're leaning on, right?
I think he's going for 6. No, I don't think he's going
incredible.
For 6.
If
he almost takes 6, that'll be solid.
I would love that. That's what I want. I would love to see that. I would be very happy if that's the case. Jesse? Jesse, I'm next?
Yeah, sounds right.
Jawan Jennings receiving yards or Warriors 3-point percentage?
That's 52.8. Yeah, Juwan wasn't great. Just wasn't targeted a lot last week. I'm going to go Warriors 3-point percentage again.
Yeah, that's where I'm rolling too.
Yeah, I believe I'm sticking there too.
Yeah, even if they shoot 41%, I just don't think I don't think this is a game where they're going to get Jennings involved a ton. He might go for a couple catches, 36, 37 yards. But this one, I think it's going to be close either way. But I'm going Golden State 3-point percentage. Last one, Geno Smith passing yards, James, or total points scored in the Warriors-Kings game?
Oh, I'm going Geno. I think this is going to be, he's going to sling it.
Me too. Jesse?
Yeah, give me Geno.
Mm. Yeah.
I think Geno will be near 300, I think.
Yeah, I think he's going to put the ball up a ton. I'm going that way too.
He might throw the ball 50 times.
Yeah, they're talking this week about getting Kenneth Walker more involved in the run game. I think they ran it seven designed runs last week in like 68 offensive plays or something insane like that. I think they're going to make a really concerted effort to get Kenneth Walker involved, but still I think I don't love this Niners defense, and I still think even if Geno's not putting it in the air 50 times, I still think he gets to like 260, 270.
Yeah.
And that's just, anyways.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. So we're all rocking with that. We're all the same on the Ayuk receiving yards and King's first half total. And then we're all the same on the last two. I don't love that for me and making these up, but you know.
Okay.
That's fine.
I just have to make
we'll
some
do better
tough
moving forward. It's tough with the preseason. Yeah. Make them a little harder next week. That's Mad Props. We will revisit those on Monday. Jesse, thank you for popping in there. James, do you want to do Niners keys to victory?
Yeah,
just
let's
while
do
we're
it.
Here while we're talking some football. Okay, yeah. Great. Let's get to keys to victory for the San Francisco 49ers tonight in a massive game against the Seattle Seahawks. A game if the 49ers want to stick around, if they want to make this season interesting, they've got to win it. I'm calling it a must-win game. I know technically it's not, but it is. If we're being realistic, if we're being adults about it, this is a must-win game for the San Francisco 49ers. James, what is your first key?
My first key is do not let DK Metcalf get loose. This dude is an absolute beast, and if you get him out in the open field and let him muscle his way around, I think it could be a long night for the 49ers.
Yeah, Tre'Davious Ward has done a really nice job with DK Metcalf the last few times they've played. But, man, he's so big, he's so fast, that he could go for 98 yards and two touchdowns, even if he only catches three of his seven targets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Terrell Owens, just like when he has a ball. Mm. Like, no one, you can't tackle him. He's just like, the dude hasn't missed, like, upper body workout day in, like, a decade.
Yeah, he exercises for sure. Yeah, 28 catches, 421 yards, two touchdowns for DK Metcalf this year. Yeah, man, it's just a focal point of their offense. Jackson Smith and Jigba, really good player. Tyler Lockett, still a good player. Kenneth Walker, outstanding player. But it's DK, man. If he's going off, the Seahawks are really, really tough to stop. Number one for me, I need Brock Purdy to be more of a game manager.
Oh,
I know that's such a negative term. You hear this quarterback's a game manager. He's just, ugh. I know that's so negative, but it's part of the game. Like, it's part of the position. Every quarterback ever, all the great quarterbacks, Tom Brady managed so many games where it's just, you're in a spot where just don't take a negative play. Take your 5-yard completion and move on. I need Purdy to do more of that, because while the running around is fun, and oh man, every once in a while it turns into a big play, it also turns into a sack too often, or a run for 2 yards when there was a completion for six when he hit the top of his drop and he just didn't take it. So I need Brock to manage this game a little more and to stop turning the dang ball over. I'm doing that too often too.
Yeah, I think that goes with my next key, which is he needs to sling it. Like this, he needs to throw for 300 yards or close to it. And for me, yeah, he needs to be better at keeping the ball. He needs to not turn the ball over. He needs to stop with the silly interceptions or the fumbles that, like, hey, man, like, you should have seen that guy coming. You know, so I'm hoping that we see him clean that up a little bit. But at the same time, like, he needs to go out there and be a star. And like, this is a time. Your team is 2-3 on the season. If you can't turn it around right now, this thing's going to spiral out of control pretty quickly.
Yeah, but doing that, again, I'm right there with you. He has to be good, for sure. But all of that comes down to those two keys go hand in hand. He has to just manage the game better.
Yeah.
Like, push the ball downfield, for sure. But, man, when Kittle's open for 8 yards instead of just hit that, instead of standing around waiting for something to get open deep. Number two for me, you need a 180 in the red area. 40.9% in the red area this year, converting their red zone trips to touchdowns. Not going to cut it. That would have been 31st in the NFL last year. They are abominable in the red zone. They need to be better there. 1-for-6 last week, 1-for-5 in goal-to-go situations. Kyle Shanahan has to be better with play calling there. They need to be better with execution in the red area. So I would like to see that start tonight. It's going to be tough on a short week, but all these good players, a coach like Kyle Shanahan, who's supposed to be this offensive guru, that's plenty to figure it out. If they're not scoring touchdowns tonight, they're not winning.
Yeah, God bless Tom Brady and his red area comments. Like, the Kings, the 49ers need to score more in the red area, that's for sure.
They do!
Yeah, they do. I think my final key is to the 49ers need to find their defensive identity. Like, this whole, like, rudderless thing that we're seeing where they can't get off the field on third down and they don't, you know, it's like boom or bust. Like, figure it out. Like, there's too much.
Last turnover, last one for me. Got to win the turnover battle.
Win it all three phases?
All three phases. Yeah, no, but seriously, with the turnover stuff, the 49ers again this year, and this goes for a lot of teams, but with San Francisco, this year, when they lose or tie the turnover battle, they're 0-3. Mm-hmm. And when they win the turnover battle, they're 2-0.
Oh, that's science. Hey, look at what we got.
Yeah, Kenny Caraway in the building. It is time for the handoff. Kenny, we've got keys to a 49ers victory tonight real quick, and then I want to talk some King stuff with you. James got don't let DK Metcalf get loose.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Do you hear him, Kyle?
Yep. I hear him fine.
Cool.
Okay.
Kenny, you got me?
I hear you. I hear you guys good, man. I'm with that. Don't let DK get loose. I like what you say, the turnover battle. The Niners are tied for second worst in the league right now with turnovers. They turned the ball over 8 times. The worst team in the NFL has turned it over 9 times.
Yeah.
Where are you at with their red area scoring?
You got to be better in the red area.
So I am a disciple, and I'm a child of basketball, child that is, of Hubie Brown in the painted area. So I appreciate the red area. I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Right,
yeah. You see how he gets in the painted area there. So yeah, I like Tom Brady saying, "You see how they get in the red area and they've got to convert." So I'm with it.
Real quick, Will need an IV. Same. Asked if you missed Dodgers talk. Actually, yeah, you did. We said some nice things about the Dodgers, and you missed it. That's a tough scene.
And look, you know, Will. I mean, it's like I said in Little Big League, right? You know, when the scene I talk about in Little Big League all the time, where the old guy, the old veteran, is probably like 3 of 55, and he gets a hit. And then the little kid who's the manager says, "Look, he got a hit. I told you, that's the one that starts it off." And then the guy looks at him and says, "The fact that you're getting excited about this probably tells you everything you need to know." That's how it is with the Dodgers. "Look, did I miss Dodger talk? Yeah, let's go." You forced the game 5. You didn't even win the series. The fact that you're getting excited about this,
hey,
it tells you everything you need to know. This is not a team that's winning the World Series.
That's right.
Winning 8-0 in a bullpen game is crazy.
Yeah, come on, man.
That was wild. Look, I love baseball so much.
And they won the bullpen.
I love baseball so much.
They won the bullpen game, and they still got another game they got to win. What they going to do now?
Dave Roberts last night was like, "Yeah, I might just do it again. Oh, we're super efficient. Might just run it back." the other thing we were saying about the 49er game, though, is I need Brock to be more of a game manager. What do you think about that?
Man, there's so many moving parts with this game, because I know, Kyle, you've probably watched the game. You've seen so many breakdowns. Mm-hmm. There are things that go both ways, right? Like, sometimes Brock should check it down and be more of a game manager. Sometimes those guys aren't getting open. Sometimes it's the right defense that's being called. Sometimes the others, the offensive line, the receivers, whatever, aren't doing their jobs on the blocks. So, yeah, probably a little bit more of a game manager, but I need the main thing is everybody's got to do their job. Like, because there was at least five instances that I've seen from, like, all 22 films and stuff like that where right play call was made, right decision by Brock, right, you know, Deebo Samuel making a catch. If they block, he gets into the end zone or stuff like that. So everybody's got to be on their job. And there's times when Brock missed, like the pass to Juwan Jennings before the half where he didn't lead him towards the end zone and went towards the sideline and goes out of bounds. Like, you lead them towards the end zone, that's a touchdown too. So everybody needs to do their job.
Yeah.
All right.
For sure. We've talked a lot of Kings today, obviously. Mm-hmm. Overall thoughts from last night's game?
Oh, man, I was excited. I was excited about that offense. Seeing DeMar DeRozan, I mean, this guy's just a bucket getter, man.
Isn't he? Come on, man.
It's just so crazy. Bucket getter.
That wasn't even like, man, they're designing plays and he's just wide open. Like, they were in his jersey, hand in his face. 6'10 guy, bucket. 6'3 guy, bucket. It was crazy.
It didn't matter, man.
It's ridiculous.
The mid range is crazy. His pace is crazy. Like, you can't speed him up, you can't get him off his spot. He's one of those guys where we talk about it a lot. If he gets to his spot, it's a bucket. We saw this a lot, and it's interesting that, you know, this is what we see from DeMar DeRozan because he's a disciple of a guy like this. But we saw it with Kobe. Like, Kobe wouldn't do a whole lot of flashy stuff later in his career. It was 1-2, I'm going to get to the nail, and I'm going to pull up. And if you let me get to the nail, I'm not going to miss. And that's where DeMar is right now.
Yeah, I think it's such a good point. You're watching him. He plays at his own pace, but he clearly knows that he needs to play faster. Like, we're not seeing a whole bunch of dribbling. We're seeing him, like, make quick decisions, but he just, like, that's who he is. We're going to, like, be able to appreciate someone who's so good at their craft at doing one very specific thing. And I'm here for it. Like, I think he adds a whole other wrinkle to this offense.
That offense is going to be dynamic. That offense is going to be dynamic. Top five offense in the game this year. What that turns into, maybe they're bottom five defensive team and it balances out. I don't know. But I know that offense is going to be a top five offense in the game.
I agree.
Yeah. And the Warriors might be number one because they're going to make 29 threes a night.
They're going to shoot 53% for the season. Yep. this is the handoff. Kenny Caraway of D'Lo and KC joining the Insiders now. D'Lo and KC coming up next. Taking you till 4 o'clock. That was one of the things that really jumped out to me last night was their pace, not just in grabbing a rebound and getting up the floor, but once they got into their half-court offense, it's really clear. Like, they're still figuring some stuff out. And the pace, though, was just, it was so fluid. And if they're gonna play at that pace and that speed with the amount of weapons they have, it's going to be really, really hard for defenses to keep up, where even if a defense is doing something right, there's a lot of guys who are going to go get a bucket.
And the word fluid that you just used was perfect. And then there's another dynamic to this whole thing is if Domantas Sabonis is comfortable and willing to take mid-range pull-ups, maybe even step back to behind the arc or whatever the case may be, that's just going to – I'm telling you, this team's tough to guard. Like, and we didn't even get into – you know, the Kevin Herters, the Trey Lyles, when those guys come in and what that might look like, and Jordan McLaughlin and the way he can spread the defense with the way he can shoot the three ball. I mean, they've got offensive weapons all over the place, in their top eight or nine guys.
Yeah, I love that play that we saw where they just kept, like, setting, like, fake screens, and Sabonis just looped all the way around the top of the arc, took it right to the rim, and jammed it.
Yeah.
And you're watching it like, oh my gosh, like the wrinkles or the Keegan Murray splashing to the middle of the key and Sabonis throwing it over the top for the catch and layups. Like, oh, that's a new wrinkle. Like, there's so many new wrinkles.
And the thing about it, and we saw this so many times with the Warriors and what they did, it wasn't even like, not just last night, but over the history of this era of the Warriors. It wasn't somebody coming down and calling a play. It was just, this is the action of the offense.
Like, yeah, they didn't run a single play set.
This is just what we do. You know what I mean? Yep. And that's super encouraging and impressive.
Yeah, De'Aaron was taking a back seat last night. He didn't even get that involved. That's crazy.
Did he take the most shots? He had 10. He was 5 of 10, right?
I think he did take the most shots. Yeah. Even though it didn't feel like it.
That's what I was about to say. It didn't feel like it at all. It felt like he was just coasting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was just coasting and got it easy. What, he ended up with 11 or something like that? And they did all that in a half. Like,
yep.
They got weapons.
Yeah, definitely good signs.
Good signs for sure. What do you guys got coming up?
More on the Kings game. It's not Friday, but it's 49er Friday, Thursday Night Football edition.
Mm-hmm.
Big game, man. Big game tonight. It's not a must win. It's not the season on the line. Nah, because the division is what it is, man. Like, even if you lose, it'll be all right. So.
All right. That's Kenny Caraway. Kenny and friends today?
D'Lo will be here eventually.
Yeah, okay, very good.
He's going to be
D'Lo and Casey.
He's going to be from the crib. He'll be here eventually.
D'Lo and KC, eventually. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water. Be nice, people. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.